From KUOW, it's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm David Hyde. And Marcy, we all know feedback can be helpful, but of course, sometimes it can be hard to know exactly how to give or receive criticism.
No kidding, David. Douglas Stone and Sheila Heen deal with this dilemma in their new book. It's called Thanks for the Feedback, The Science and Art of Receiving Feedback Well. Doug and Sheila are lecturers on law at Harvard Law School and co-authors of a best-selling book called Difficult Conversations.
They told our colleague Ross Reynolds about why they decided to write the book in the first place. They were giving lectures and audiences kept asking for help on feedback, and Sheila Heen says that's because feedback is at the crux of two human needs.
We're all wired to learn and grow. The research on happiness is pretty clear that continuing to learn and grow and master something is a big piece of what makes us happy or satisfied in life. It's why we take up hobbies in retirement. It's why we stick with golf, right? Because that occasional good round gives you the illusion you're getting better. It's very satisfying. The problem is that there's a second human need, which is the need to be accepted and respected and loved and to feel safe just the way you are now. And the very fact of feedback suggests that how you are now is not quite a-okay.
And we should emphasize that although when I picked this up, I thought, oh, feedback, this is going to be completely in a professional situation, but you're also talking about personal situations too,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. So we're defining it. It's your performance review at work for sure, which is, I think, what most people think of when they hear the word feedback. But we're defining it also as it's all the informal feedback and coaching and mentoring you get at work, but it's also everything that's going on in your personal life with your kids, your spouse, your friends. We're getting feedback all the time. Our in-laws, those parenting recommendations that they're coming up with, we're just bombarded with advice and feedback.
Now, some people are listening and they're going, I know why feedback is such a difficult conversation. It's because the people giving the feedback do such a terrible job at it.
And they're right. And this was part of what led us to writing a book on receiving feedback, because I think so often we're just waiting for the perfect mentor or coach to come along. And those people are fabulous when you have them. Treasure them. But mostly our lives are populated by everybody else, right? All these people who are terrible at giving feedback and they're hypercritical and they're being unfair and it's poorly delivered at exactly the wrong time. If I'm going to wait around for the perfect giver, I'm really stalling out my own learning. So if I want to accelerate my own learning and improve my relationships, I've actually got to get good at drawing something valuable out of even the worst and most poorly delivered feedback.
So we should expect that the feedback we're going to be getting is not going to be as good as it should be, and we should just deal with it. I mean, how can someone get something good and useful out of bad feedback?
It depends which kind of bad. So one kind of bad is that people tend to deliver feedback in the form of labels. So at work, someone will say, you know, you've got to step up to the next level, or you've got to be more assertive, or you have to be warmer, you've got to put in more effort. And we think, when we hear that, we think, yeah, I know what those words mean, that makes sense, or when we give that feedback. But in fact, that's pretty hollow in terms of what does it actually mean to step up your effort. So one thing that we have to do is just dig in and ask follow-up questions. Sheila and I were talking to a radio host a couple weeks back, and we were talking about this idea, and he said that he'd recently gotten this feedback that he needed to be more edgy. And so he was playing around with that, trying to figure out, like, so maybe I should be using, like, bad words on the air or talking about sex. And he's thinking, you know, I don't think that's really me. And he goes into this big crisis. Then he talks to the person who gave him the feedback, the producer or the corporate folks or whoever it was. And he said, you know, I just don't know if edgy is my thing, but, you know, tell me more about what you meant by that. And they said, well, by edgy, we meant you should be more emotionally vulnerable. And he was like, oh, I see. That is something I can do. But there was just this complete misunderstanding.
So this is a great thing to think about when you're getting feedback, is to realize that you might not be hearing what is actually intended. So part of our goal in getting feedback is to ask and clarify.
Yeah. So we talk about three kinds of triggers that we have that cause reactions, and each of them has a corresponding challenge. The one that we've been talking about so far is sort of the challenge to see, both to see what the giver means and the challenge to see yourself accurately, because we all have blind spots. I mean, I don't actually have blind spots, but I know you guys have blind spots, right? And so we talk about how sometimes it's so confusing when someone gives you feedback, you think, that's not true. That's just not who I am. But actually, you can't see your own face. You are very unaware often of sort of behavioral habits that you have. Even your own voice, you don't actually listen to your own voice. I mean, you do because you're a radio host, right? But for the rest of us, there's a part of our brain that is dedicated to taking in language, decoding the meaning of what's said and the emotional tone with which it's said. And it's active as you listen to anybody else speak. But when you yourself speak, that part of your brain turns off, which is why when you hear a recording of your own voice, you're so shocked. Because you don't actually listen to yourself. So when people say, you know, don't use that tone with me, you're like, I'm not using some tone, right? And you don't actually listen to yourself.
No, actually, someone gave me a critique saying I was using my Ross face. And I took that to mean my tell was something unpleasant that I didn't think I was getting across.
People tell me I'm using my Ross face as well. I take it as a compliment.
We're talking about feedback. The book's called Thanks for the Feedback, The Science and the Art of Receiving Feedback Well, because that is the focus of Douglas Stone and Sheila Heen in this book. They can see that you're probably not going to get the best feedback, but you have to figure out a way to interpret it and use it. And I want to get back to triggers because I think that's a really key thing. But what are some of the questions we might want to ask when we're getting feedback to clarify it, Doug?
So feedback has a past and a future, we say. So when you identify one of these labels, you know, be more assertive, think about two kinds of questions. Ask, where does this feedback come from? In other words, you're giving me this feedback. What did you see me do? What triggered this feedback in your mind? Why are you giving it to me in terms of what you've observed? And once you've clarified that, ask about, so what would it look like if I was doing this well from your point of view? And so you're looking, where does it come from? And what's the sort of vision of where this is going? If you can answer those two questions, doesn't mean then the next step is always that you take the feedback. But now you understand the feedback and you can make a wise judgment about whether the feedback makes sense, whether you should take it or whether you should set it aside.
And how can we get a better handle on dealing with these triggers that set us off? You pull a trigger, the gun goes off. I mean, do we have a gun lock here or something? How do we prevent them from taking over and not receiving the feedback and learning from it?
Yeah, so the first step is just understanding what they are so that you can recognize them in yourself. So we've talked about truth triggers. The second one is what we call relationship triggers or the challenge of we. All feedback comes in the context within which it's given, right? So my opinions about the giver and how I feel treated by the giver will taint anything they say. And often my reaction to who is bigger than my reaction to what. And because I'm frustrated with you or feel unappreciated by you, I'm going to dismiss any feedback you have for me. And when I go to Doug to complain about what you said to me, I'm completely focused on, you know, can you believe that he said that? And where he said it was totally inappropriate and he sent it by text, right? It's all complaints about you. It actually isn't saying a thing about the feedback itself, which has been lost.
Mm-hmm. So we're focused on the way it's sent to us and the structure of it rather than the content of it.
And our opinions about the giver and how we feel treated by them have a lot to do with it. This is one of the reasons why your best friend can tell you something that nobody else can. But it's also a reason why sometimes your best friend or your spouse may have been complaining about this trait for years and you dismiss it. But then a stranger comes along or a colleague you admire and says the same thing and suddenly they actually do get through to you.
So you've kind of given up on the idea that we're going to get better feedback. I mean, this book is entirely focused on receiving it.
I think actually we think that the best thing that leaders and managers can do to give better feedback is actually get better at receiving it. Not only because they'll get better and they'll model the value of really working to learn from other people's input, but also because they'll be more empathetic to what's going on as a receiver. So by understanding people's triggers, you actually then reverse engineer to become a better giver.
And another big piece of getting better at giving feedback is actually having not just the conversation about what the feedback is, but having the conversation about how we talk about feedback. So it's like the next level up conversation. And if you're at work or even in a personal relationship, if we're being thoughtful, we might try to guess how the person would receive the feedback. And we try to think, well, what's a nice way to say this? Or how are they going to react? And we give it some forethought. But an even better thing to do is actually talk to the person and say, we're going to be working together for a long time. How do you receive feedback? What helps you receive feedback? And I'll tell you my style of giving it, what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are. And making that explicit, it solves all kinds of problems.
You've done a lot of work with businesses. Where do you think we are in sort of the arc of getting better at receiving and giving feedback?
I don't think that we've run into an organization yet that feels that they've got it right. Instead, everybody complains about their performance management system. And the bottom line is there isn't a perfect performance management system. The quality of feedback in your organization and the strength of those working relationships lies in the individuals themselves and the way that they can talk to each other. And I think one of the problems is that the usual fix is to focus on teaching givers how to give. But at the end of the day, actually, it's the receivers who are in charge of what they let in, what sense they make of it, whether they choose to change.
But there's a dilemma here, isn't there? If we're bad at receiving feedback, how are we going to hear the feedback that we're bad at receiving feedback? Because that's feedback, right?
It is feedback, but we think of it as a skill. So we're sort of born with a certain innate talent around various things, and we have certain ability to receive feedback, or we have certain communication skills that just sort of show up with us in the world. But wherever you're at, you can get better.
That actually brings us to the third trigger, identity triggers, and the challenge of being me.
That's a challenge, I'm telling you.
What we found is that individuals vary in their sensitivity to feedback, meaning how far do you swing emotionally in the wake of positive or negative feedback, and how long does it take you to recover? So there are some of us who are very sensitive to feedback in terms of having a big reaction to a relatively small criticism or comment or lack of comment, right? Sometimes it's indirect and we read into it. There are others who are insensitive to feedback, or I maybe should say they're more even keel about feedback. So you match these people up and you've got people trying to give feedback to people who are very different from them, which is one more reason why it really needs to be driven by the receiver helping givers say, look, here's what will help me learn, and here's what will actually get in the way.
So the takeaway is you can get better at receiving feedback just by understanding more clearly what it is, and also by understanding why it might be setting you off in certain ways. Coming away from this, what's one thing that you can do the next time you're receiving feedback to receive it better, to get something out of it?
I think our tendency is to go to people and say, so do you have any feedback for me? And that's a terrible question. Nobody knows how to answer that question or how honest you want them to be. So what we suggest is actually ask for one thing. Hey, what's one thing you see me doing or failing to do that's you think is getting in my own way? Or what's one thing I could change that would make a big difference here? You'll get something practical and concrete, so it lowers the stakes for both of you. And in addition, it's clearer that you want them to be honest. And, you know, the research shows that at work, people who go out looking for, solicit negative feedback, by which you mean they're not out fishing for compliments. They're looking for things to improve. They adapt more quickly to new roles. They report higher satisfaction, and they actually get higher performance reviews. So it not only accelerates your learning, it changes how people see you.
That was Sheila Heen with co-author Douglas Stone. Their new book is called Thanks for the Feedback, The Science and Art of Receiving Feedback Well. They spoke with our colleague Ross Reynolds.